Good morning. I'm Bette Sinemar, president of No Kill Houston. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing the No Kill model of sheltering to Houston's animal shelters. Our goal is to stop the needless deaths of the 80,000 animals that are killed in Houston's five kill shelters each year. There are open admission shelters all over the U.S. and other countries that have stopped the killing, and we want this for Houston. Our guest today is Nathan Winograd. Nathan has an impressive resume in animal welfare. He is the director of the National No-Kill Advocacy Center. He's a graduate of Stanford Law School, a former criminal prosecutor and attorney. He's held a wide variety of leadership positions, including director of operations for the San Francisco SPCA and executive director of Tompkins County SPCA, two of the most successful no-kill shelters in the nation. He has spoken nationally and internationally on animal sheltering issues, has written animal protection legislation at the state and national level, and he has created no-kill programs in both urban and rural communities. He's consulted with a wide range of animal protection groups, including some of the largest and best known in the nation. He's also the author of two groundbreaking and award-winning books called Redemption, The Myth of Pet Overpopulation and the No-Kill Revolution, and Irreconcilable Differences, The Battle for the Heart and Soul of America's Animal Shelters. And also in August of 2009, Nathan was actually hired by the City of Houston to assess Houston's animal control facility. His extensive report is posted on No Kill Houston's website, and I urge everyone to check that out at nokillhouston.org. We're going to talk to Nathan today about the grassroots movement that is changing the animal sheltering system. This movement has discovered that we have the power to end the killing of the 3 to 4 million shelter pets each year. We will talk about the communities all over the U.S. and other countries that are already doing that. We'll also talk about the Companion Animal Protection Act, which was recently filed in Texas, and the overwhelming grassroots support that this bill has. Good morning, Nathan, and thanks for being with us today.
Good morning, Beth. Thank you very much for having me.
So first, let's talk about the grassroots no-kill movement that is not only sweeping the U.S., but actually other countries as well. This movement has just exploded recently. When we started No-Kill Houston about 3 years ago, I didn't know of any other no-kill advocacy groups except perhaps Fix Austin, and now there are just dozens of groups like ours all over the country. So why do you think this movement has expanded so rapidly, and why has it been so successful at the grassroots level?
Well, it's a great question. Actually, people have been ripe for this for a very long time. What has been missing in our movement is leadership. The large national organizations that are supposed to raise the status of animals in society are the organizations that are supposed to tap into the public's immense compassion and lead it towards building a more humane society for all animals. Unfortunately, they've been asleep at the wheel, and rather than be watchdogs of killing shelters, rather than challenge killing shelters, they've essentially become their apologists and cheerleaders. And so you have this immense compassion in the public that has gone untapped towards the goal of ending the killing in shelters across the country, in fact, across the world. So the no-kill movement is relatively young. It's only a little over a decade old, and yet in that time it has made such tremendous progress. As you mentioned, there are now no-kill communities that dot the American landscape, and what has happened is that these new technologies, like the internet, like blogs, like Facebook, have allowed us to bypass the national organizations and speak directly to the people. They're great tools of democracy and leveling, and they give people who in the old days wouldn't have a voice. And essentially, when the message was able to get out on a mass scale that a solution to the killing was at hand, that we held the keys to end the killing, people who, you know, in this particular country, we are an incredibly dog and cat loving culture, and I've said this when we've talked before, but it bears repeating. If you look at all the sectors of our economy over the last few years, most of them have been in steady decline. The one area that continues to increase every year, regardless of what the rest of the economy is doing, is how much we're spending on our companion animals. And we've hit the $50 billion mark. So even while we're spending less in other areas, we're actually spending more money every year on our pets. And we're giving hundreds of millions more to animal-related charities in need. And what makes this such a popular issue is that when you look at all those other issues that might divide us as Americans, what our politics are, what our education level is, where in the country we may live, those things don't apply when it comes to our views of companion animals, particularly dogs and cats, proving that despite all those things that separate us, people of all walks of life want to build a better world for animals. And given that we can now reach those people by bypassing the large national groups, it's taken on a tremendous life of its own.
Excellent. And I know I'm on Facebook and Twitter, and I talk to people all over the country who are doing the exact same thing we are, and it's just so exciting to talk to all these people. So let's talk about the Companion Animal Protection Act, or CAPA. A version of this law was filed in Texas recently. And so what makes CAPA different from most other animal control or animal sheltering laws?
Well, CAPA is actually the Companion Animal Protection Act is a natural offshoot of this grassroots movement to end the killing in shelters. Historically, bet for so many years in their defense and protection of killing shelters, the large national organizations, and you know, when I say that, I'm specifically referring to groups like the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA and the American Humane Association specifically. But these organizations have basically dismissed any culpability for the staggering level of killing going on in our nation's pounds and shelters by blaming the public, by saying it was the public's fault, and that until we made the public responsible, that shelters would have no choice but to kill. Now, without denying that there is some public irresponsibility out there, it really, what it did was malign the entire American public for the actions of a few. And in fact, the grassroots movement that has embraced the no-kill philosophy has rejected that, and we've seen that played out in shelters across the country that have embraced rather than saw the public as an enemy. When they reached out to the community, when they said we need help with volunteers, with foster care, with donations, with adoptions, the public has rallied to the cause, and thanks to the public, we now have no-kill communities across the country and across the ocean. And what CAPA does, in contrast to the historical animal control laws that groups like the Humane Society of the United States have passed, is that it seeks to codify into law those types of programs that allowed communities across the country to end the killing of savable animals. And you don't have to go far to understand the import of the Texas Companion Animal Protection Act. In Austin, Texas, their embrace of the programs and services that are mandated, or would be mandated if CAPA passes, has completely changed the dynamic for animals entering that community's public shelter. You know, there was a time where that shelter killed an animal every 12 minutes it was open to the public.
Wow.
And now it's saving 90% of dogs and cats. It is the largest municipality in the country with a better than 90% save rate, and the future looks even brighter. And what CAPA does is it codifies the types of programs that helped Austin, Texas, save all those lives, and would mandate that all shelters in Texas pass it. And people have to stop and think about that for a second, because when you think about what CAPA does, things like making it illegal to kill animals, healthy animals, and treatable animals when cages sit empty, so it ends convenience killing, banning the use of painful and unnecessary and expensive gas chambers, banning killing for arbitrary reasons, like, you know, someone says the dog is too old, or someone says we don't want to put black cats up for adoption, or based on the perception of what the animal's particular breed is. It makes it illegal for shelters to kill animals when nonprofit organizations that do rescue are willing to save that animal, and a whole host of other things. It is literally the most significant piece of animal protection legislation, not just ever introduced in Texas, but I would say the whole country.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1 Pacifica Radio. It is 9:41. I'm Bette Sendermeyer. You're listening to Community Spotlight. We're speaking with Nathan Winograd, the director of the National No-Kill Advocacy Center, about the grassroots movement that is changing our animal shelter system. So you said that the Companion Animal Protection Act, or parts of it, has been passed in Austin. What other city, county, or states has it been passed in, and does it apply only to government-run animal control facilities, or would it apply to the nonprofit shelters as well?
Well, CAPA is actually based on a law that was passed in California about 11 years ago, really was that law in California, named after its legislative sponsor, then Senator Tom Hayden. So it's known as the Hayden Law. Actually was a radical step forward in terms of what the obligations of shelters were in the state of California. It, for example, mandated, as CAPA does, that shelters, both public and private shelters, should not kill animals, should not use taxpayer money or even philanthropic dollars to kill animals if there was another organization willing to save the animal's life. And, you know, it made no sense to California legislators that taxpayers were spending money to warehouse and then kill animals and dispose of their bodies when there were private philanthropic organizations saying not only do we want to save these animals, but we can save these animals and we'll use our own money. And despite the fact that virtually every shelter in California came out in opposition because they didn't want to be regulated, they also didn't want any of the power to shift from them to rescue organizations or volunteers, even though they opposed it, even though groups like the California League of Cities, which represented all the municipalities in California, opposed it. And it made no sense to legislators that not only were shelters spending money to kill animals, others were willing to save with their own money, but those shelters didn't reflect the humane values of their constituents, so it passed overwhelmingly, 96-12. Since that time, as we mentioned, parts of it are in place in Austin, Texas. And last year, the state of Delaware introduced and passed the Companion Animal Protection Act, and like California, it was a landslide. I mean, in Delaware, it passed both houses of the legislature unanimously.
And so this really was a grassroots movement that helped pass these laws, because citizens spoke up and said, we want this, our communities, and their legislators listened, and that's what we're hoping will happen in Texas as well. You're listening to KPFT 90.1 Pacifica Radio. You're listening to Community Spotlight with Nathan Winograd. We'll be right back. Now, Nathan, I've been hearing, I've been watching the message boards and Facebook and Twitter, and I hear a lot of people say that the no-kill model of sheltering that CAPA is based on and would mandate is too expensive. They say that there's just no way that any open admission shelter could do all of the programs required, but that isn't necessarily true, is it?
Well, first of all, the people that are saying it are the ones that don't want to be regulated by the bill. So it's not animal lovers that are saying we shouldn't spend money on animals. It's not most of the American public who would say that. In fact, national surveys showed that, you know, one particular survey showed that 96% of Americans not only feel we have ethical obligation to care for animals, but we should have strong animal laws that do so. You know, that's almost every single person polled. So, it, you know, that viewpoint is definitely out of step with how the American public feels about companion animals. But in another sense, it really is a smokescreen to avoid getting a law like CAPA on the books. They're going to say things like, you know, why are we spending money on animals when there's all these other needs out there that are being cut? The beauty here is that the full implementation of CAPA isn't a budget buster. It's not going to be a raid on the public treasury, because a lot of the programs and services procedures that are mandated by CAP are actually quite cost effective. For example, we did a study, the No-Kill Advocacy Center did a study in New York State, for example, which is also this year considering a version of CAPA, and found that 71% of nonprofit organizations were being turned away by shelters, and then those shelters killed the very animals those groups offered to save, to the tune of about 25,000 animals being killed every year in New York State at taxpayer expense, despite a rescue alternative that would not only save the cost of killing those animals, but if the shelters actually charged those rescue groups the adoption fee, would bring in revenue. So from that sense, the mandate of CAPA would save taxpayer money. There are things in there, for example, that have an initial cost, like requiring shelters to scan for microchips, or to make better efforts to reunite lost animals with their families. And yes, there's an initial cost, but to just look at it as a straight cost would be a mistake. They're in fact investments in reducing overall costs, because the more animals you get home, which requires the person to pay an impound fee, first of all, the less cost you have, because you're not spending money to care for that animal. He or she is going home. But two, you're also bringing in revenue. So if you go through all the dictates of CAPA and you look at it as a whole, on average, you're going to have a revenue neutral bill. In fact, when the Hayden Law was going through the California legislature, those are the types of arguments that the California League of Cities and shelters were making to the legislatures. But our own Department of Finance, State Department of Finance, analyzed the bill and found that the cost savings and the increased revenue would offset any cost for implementation, and they found that the law would be revenue neutral. And in fact, that coincides with a study that was done in 2009 that actually found funding levels didn't necessarily correlate with save rates. So there were some communities, for example, that were spending $1.50 per person on animal control, and yet they were saving 90% of the animals. And a neighboring community was spending $5.80 per capita, so almost four times the rate, and yet it only had a 42% save rate, less than half of the first. And now that doesn't mean that municipalities shouldn't fully fund their animal sheltering programs. They should, but only that I think we oversimplify the issue by saying in order to save more lives, we need to throw as much money as we can at these agencies.
Right. You're listening to KPFT 90.1. It is 9:50. This is Community Spotlight, and we're speaking with Nathan Winograd, the director of the National No-Kill Advocacy Center, regarding the Companion Animal Protection Act. That's legislation that's filed in Texas and is greatly supported by the grassroots community in Texas. Now, various people say that we need mandatory spay-neuter laws, that this is the only way that shelters will stop killing. And in fact, a mandatory spay-neuter bill was introduced in Texas this legislative session. But mandatory spay-neuter laws have not worked to drop the kill rate in other communities where these laws were passed. In fact, we've seen kill rates that have risen after these laws were passed. So why is this happening? This seems counterintuitive.
Well, first of all, look at the two primary differences between a shelter reform law like the Companion Animal Protection Act and a punitive law like mandatory spay-neuter. In the case of the former, in the case of CAPA, what the law is trying to do there, Bet, is to limit the discretion shelters have to avoid doing what's in the best interest of animals and kill them needlessly. So for too long, shelters have basically been given a free ride. They've been given a budget, and they've been told do what you have to do, and what they've done with that virtually unlimited discretion is to essentially create assembly lines of killing without any regard for how to save animals or how to stem the problem, so that you're not in this endless cycle of killing. And so what CAPA does is eliminate that discretion and says, look, there is a model to end the killing. We've known what that model has been for over a decade. You have not voluntarily or willingly implemented it, therefore you're needlessly killing animals. We're going to force you to do that. And when shelters implement those programs, they end the killing. At the very least, they radically curtail the level of killing. Mandatory spay-neuter essentially feeds into the existing system. It gives animal control shelters even more reasons to impound animals. And so rather than really try to get people to act in ways they want them to spay-neuter their animal, rather than remove the roadblocks that prevent them from acting in ways we want them to, for example, cost being the biggest barrier to whether people spay-neuter or not. Essentially, it's one more tool they have to threaten people with citations, and if they don't comply, or give them the alternative of surrendering their animals and avoid a citation. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people, particularly people of limited means, end up doing. So rather than spend the money on truly life-saving programs, what these people are doing are spending money to sweep through the community, trying to impound, citing people and impounding their animals to kill them. And we've seen that time and time again. If mandatory spay-neuter laws worked, Bet, I would be the first in line to champion them. In fact, I would be the loudest voice in favor of them. And so when we pass laws, we have to go not with what we want to happen, not with what we hope will happen, but what we know has happened in other community. History always has to be our guide. We have to go by experience and not hope. And it is grossly irresponsible for people to say, I believe in spay-neuter, despite the fact that they can't point to a single community anywhere that has achieved the 90% plus level of save rates that programs within CAPA has. In fact, as you mentioned, too often the opposite results, and that is just grossly irresponsible. So the last thing we want to do is to feed into a system that blames the public for what is the shelter's fault, for its refusal to implement programs to end the killing, and focus our efforts on forcing them to do those programs. That's why CAPA provides so much more promise for the animals of Texas than any spay-neuter law anyone can come up with.
Great. And Nathan will be in Houston on April 30th giving a seminar talking about this grassroots movement and CAPA. This will be the only time in 2011 he'll give this seminar, so Houstonians are excited that he has agreed to come here. If you'd like to find out more about this seminar, visit our website at nokillhouston.org. And I would urge everyone today to become informed regarding how we citizens at the grassroots level can stop the killing in Texas animal shelters, and I urge you to become involved. We need every single voice speaking up with us in order to make positive changes. The animals entering Texas shelters cannot afford to wait, and it is particularly critical now that the Companion Animal Protection Act has been filed in Texas. Go to nokillhouston.org to find out how you can help. Thank you for speaking with us again today, Nathan.
It's my pleasure, Beth. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio. Since 1970, KPFT has been a unique source on the Houston airwaves. We rely on listener donations. Please visit kpft.org to support this station. KPFT listener members are welcome to produce an Open Journal. Prospective producers must fill out an Open Journal request form available on our website. The program director welcomes your feedback on every Open Journal. Listener feedback helps KPFT determine what Open Journals are appreciated by the community at large. To get in touch with the program director, send an email to pd@kpft.org or call 713-526-4000, extension 308. Please stay tuned for Wide Open Spaces coming up at 10, and thank you for tuning in today to Open Journal here on KPFT, Houston, Radio for Peace.